Good morning and welcome to our radio broadcast here from Trinity United Methodist Church. This morning, we are worshiping at the Jackson Washington State Forestry in Brandstown. Our message this morning was recorded on Saturday by Pastor Angel Armstrong. God's blessings to you as you listen to this broadcast.
Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how proved You more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how proved You more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove You more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. This morning's sermon is entitled True Faith, and the scripture is Luke 17:11-19. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When they saw Him, He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And then He said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Jesus said many times throughout the scripture, your faith has made you well. Today we're talking about true faith. My youngest daughter, Heather, Abriana and the twins' mom, lived on Molokai, the smallest of the Hawaiian islands. It is now called the Friendly Island. It used to be called the Leper Island or Father Damien's Island. Leprosy, now called Hansen's disease. There remains a colony of people in Kalapapa, Molokai, now cured of Hansen's disease. Once upon a time, people like 7-year-old Rachel were dropped off on the island. In the course of a century, over 8,000 lived and died in Kalapapa, Molokai. The disease causes nerve damage, lung damage, loss of strength, and loss of feeling in the limbs, kidney damage and kidney failure, as well as the infection and ulceration of affected areas. Victims of the disease were transported to the colony by boat in a cattle pen. After being forcefully taken from their homes, there was no way to leave the colony except for by boat. Supplies only came to the island once every year. Father Damien volunteered to minister to the leper colony. He spent 13 years caring for, loving, fighting for a normal existence for the outcasts before he himself succumbed to the disease that he had fought so valiantly. Fortunately, today, this disease can be cured with antibiotics. But in Jesus' day, lepers were shunned and ostracized by their communities. Thus, we have today's scripture reading, where 10 lepers approached Jesus and his disciples, asking for healing. Healing from what? Healing from the physical trauma of open, weeping lesions, to be sure. But that would just be the beginning of the healing necessary for these lepers to be made whole. They had been abandoned by their friends and family, left to forge out an existence by begging and by living isolated from their communities, forming some type of community with others who were likewise afflicted. In a way, this reminds me of how we isolated people with tuberculosis in sanitariums until the 1950s, and how we dealt with the AIDS epidemic, and how we still deal with the homeless, as if hard times were contagious. Father Damien had another dream, an ordinary existence for his lepers. Isolated though they were, he wanted his patients, his congregation, his friends to live normal lives. And that meant having parties, marriages, good food, clothing, washing, and most of all, nursing care. He knew that he had little time left to create his model society. He had seen the way the disease ran its course with so many people, and he knew that once the ears began to elongate, the person had 4 or 5 years to live at the most. When the bridge of the nose collapsed, he or she had only 2 years. When the disease hit the lungs, the prognosis was 1 year. He knew the symptoms. And he saw in the mirror that the clock was ticking for him too. He would have to fight hard and fast to win the battle. In his fight for more clothing, better food, better housing conditions, and especially for nursing care, he told story after story of how the disease evolved in people who had the support of a loved one, a parent, a child, a wife, a husband, or a friend. They developed fewer secondary symptoms. and the direct symptoms they exhibited were less severe. They simply bore the disease better with some support. This reminds me of just how debilitating leprosy actually was. The physical symptoms were horrid, but the emotional, social, and spiritual aspects of the disease were surely worse. Imagine being sick and terrified, and then cast out into the wilderness to fend for yourself. All familiar surroundings gone. Forbidden to attend temple. Far removed from all you know and love. The despair, the shame, the loneliness would have been unbearable, let alone the extreme fear of the bodily symptoms that came with the disease. Of course, as a pastor, that got me thinking about statistics of people living longer, healthier lives when they are supported by community. How do we support the least, the lost, and the outcast among us? The scripture passage leaves us with only the barest details, yet that seems sufficient for the gospel writers. What we know is that the heart of the matter is the true faith that led to wellness. We reenact this ritual every week as a community of believers. As a church family, when we lift our prayer concerns and our joys to God, we offer thanksgiving and praise for the gifts that God has bestowed upon us and for the answered prayer. We bring to God our concerns and need for physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. Like the lepers, we say, "Lord, have mercy on us," acknowledging our weakness and imploring God's help in all areas of our lives and the lives of those that we love. And we leave our worship service to live out God's grace in our daily lives. The 9 lepers who were instructed to go and show themselves to the priest were not wrong in doing so. They understood the law and fulfilled their duty to it. As directed, they presented themselves to the authorities to be given clearance to rejoin their communities. I can't imagine that any of them was ungrateful for their healing. Yet only the outcast among them, the Samaritan, whose status as an enemy of the Jewish people made him an outcast among outcasts. Only he responded to the miracle by returning to loudly give praise to God and to humble himself at Jesus' feet. Today's scripture reading is not one bit subtle about this message. God is alive and acting in our lives, leading us to wholeness in a God-centered life filled with faith. God is the healing and the wholeness we seek. I wonder if the 10 lepers ever thought through their request when they agreed to approach the Lord. Did they anticipate the changes that would come about? The tensions and struggles in reclaiming their lives? Did they know they would never be the same again? Do we, when we pray, "Thy will be done," are we actually prepared to live out the challenges God's will presents? Gratitude is a game changer. It is intentional and powerful. Once you lose it, it is very hard to regain. Been there, done that, sadly more than once. Living a life of gratitude takes focus, intention, practice, and care. To be truly grateful requires awareness of what is going on around us. In today's society, we tend to have tunnel vision, focusing on our to-do list, our hectic, busy schedules, what we need, and what we want. We are self-focused, often on autopilot, trying to survive. We struggle to find time for family and friends, let alone neighbors and strangers. I know I am guilty. I know that the Brownings live across the street because Sandy introduced me to their son. I know to the left of me is a lovely young couple that Judy is related to. I know to the right of me is a retired couple I have probably conversed with the most, but consistently struggle to remember their names. So-called progress and its chaotic pace has taken away our friendliness and our concern for others. I read a story the other day that reminded me of how healing to a community that simple conversation and connection are. It's one of the reasons we do the community meal. The story was about a man whose wife had left him. He was completely depressed. He had lost faith in himself, in other people, and in God. He quite simply had no joy in living. One rainy morning, this man went to a small neighborhood restaurant for breakfast. Although several people were at the diner, no one was speaking to anyone else. The man hunched over the counter, stirring his coffee with a spoon. In one of the small booths along the window was a young mother with a little girl. They had just been served their food when the little girl broke the sad silence by almost shouting, "Mama, why don't we say our prayers here?" The waitress, who had just served their breakfast, turned around and said, "Sure, honey, we pray here. Will you say the prayer for us?" And she turned around and looked at the rest of the people in the restaurant and said, "Bow your heads." Surprisingly, one by one, the heads went down. The little girl then bowed her head, folded her hands, and said, "God is great. God is good. And we thank him for our food. Amen." This prayer changed the entire atmosphere. People began to talk with one another. The waitress said, "We should do that every morning." "All of a sudden," said the distraught man, "my whole frame of mind started to improve. From that little girl's example, I started to thank God for all that I did have and stop majoring in all that I didn't have. I started to be grateful." We all understand and appreciate the importance of gratitude, how it can radically change relationships. In fact, one of the first things we were taught and that we teach our children is to express their gratitude. Someone gives them some candy and we say, "Now what do you say?" And the child learns from an early age to answer, "Thank you." And certainly, we all know as adults that we appreciate being thanked. Yet, when it comes to giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, we so often miss the mark. And when it comes to giving thanks to God, I don't suppose there is any story in the Bible that is so endearing to us, so timelessly appropriate, as the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. We have all heard the story many times, but like so many Bible stories, We never tire of it. Why did only one cleansed from leprosy return to thank Jesus? Someone made a list of 9 suggested reasons why the other 9 did not return. I stumbled across the list while I was looking up the scripture. 1 waited to see if the cure was real. 1 waited to see if it would last. 1 said he would see Jesus later. 1 decided that he had never had leprosy in the first place. 1 said he would have gotten well anyway. 1 gave all the glory to the priest. 1 said, oh well, Jesus didn't really do anything. And 1 said, any rabbi could have done it. 1 said, I was already improving. That's not terribly surprising, is it? I doubt that more than 10% of us are ever truly grateful to God. In fact, in today's society, it often seems that the more we have, the less gratitude we feel. I heard another story about the importance of gratitude. An old legend tells how a man stumbled upon a great red barn after wandering for days in the forest. He was seeking refuge from the howling winds of a storm. He entered the barn and his eyes grew accustomed to the dark. To his astonishment, he discovered that this was the barn where the devil kept his storehouse of seeds. They were the seeds that were sown into the hearts of humans. The man became curious and lit a match. He began exploring the piles of seeds around him, and he couldn't help but notice that the greatest majority of them said seeds of discouragement. About that time, one of the devil's helpers arrived to pick up a load of seeds. The man asked, why the abundance of discouragement seeds? The helper laughed and replied, because they are so effective and they take root so quickly. Do they grow everywhere? The man asked. At that moment, the devil's helper became very sullen. He glared at the man in disgust and said, no, they never seem to grow in the heart of a grateful person. The leper did not understand how Jesus had cured him, but he knew who had cured him, and that was enough for him to return in gratitude and awe, praising God for his healing. Is our faith sufficient to allow us to follow Jesus in this way? We do not need to understand the outpouring of God's love, which is good, since God's ways are not our ways. But we need to walk by faith, trusting God's presence and purpose for our lives. In the book, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom writes about the lice in the cattle car she and her sister rode in during the Nazi invasion. Her sister told Corrie to thank God for everything, even the lice, because the lice kept the soldiers out of the cars, which allowed the prisoners to read their smuggled Bibles and to pray. The line that sticks with me is, the will of God is my hiding place, for there I shall be safe. A bit of wisdom, which it seems the Samaritan leper knew 2,000 years ago. If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. I remember once in seminary, grieving the loss of my little brother whom I raised, and my 21-year-old son, who had died 8 months apart, My mentor challenged me to start using thank you as a prayer. He said, what would it be like if you thanked God for everything that you do have, or at least for all the things that you want to keep? Can we return to Jesus with a grateful heart, trusting in God's goodness and presence in our lives and the lives of those we love? In the name of the one who draws us to himself and offers healing according to our needs, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure love. Than just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Failure, God, you have every victory.